SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Yura Damarang, hello, I'm Luana Grant, executive producer of NITV Radio, and I'll be your host for this special episode of The Australia Explained. Living in a fire-prone environment like Australia, many of us find it hard to see fire as anything other than a threat.
When people think about fire, they think about the blackness that is left behind, the danger that's associated with it.
However, fire has shaped the Australian continent for millions of years and plays a crucial role in the balance of plant and animal populations across most ecological communities on the continent. For thousands of years, First Nations people have protected and managed this land using fire as a vital tool. Large-scale traditional burns were suppressed under colonial rule, but today, cultural burning is regaining prominence as a proven method for reducing wildfires and maintaining the health of country.
So we have this toolbox, if you like, of fire management technique, and for a long, long time, we've been ignoring tools from First Nation community who have been looking after this country for tens of thousands of years.
Cultural burning is a land management practice that Aboriginal people in Australia have used for millennia. Evidence shows it has played a crucial role in sustenance planning, ecosystem protection, and wildfire prevention. The practice has many layers, but at its core, it involves applying fire to clear overgrown grass and accumulated fuels from the land over time. For generations since colonisation, large-scale cultural burning has been disrupted due to dispossession of land and the resulting loss of identity for Aboriginal people. Catherine Ganack, chairperson of the Wunambal Gambara Aboriginal Corporation, is among those holding the baton of the fire tradition in Australia today.
My father, he told us every year around we've got to burn, we're harvesting food. Like the old people know that it is important to burn the country to keep it healthy.
Researchers have found that Australian landscapes have become more fire-prone and vulnerable to destructive fires since British colonisation. While the suppression of cultural burning under colonial rule has been a key factor, it is the combination of this with climate change that has led to an increased fire load. But knowledge and skills of assessing the right timing and burning in the right way have survived to this day, passed down through generations of traditional custodians. Ms. Ganack again.
So it's still carrying on. We're still carrying on. If we don't burn, nothing won't grow and nothing won't get back on country.
In recent years, academics and fire management professionals have grown interest in traditional fire knowledge shared by First Nations elders and communities. Ms. Ganack has co-authored a study documenting how the fire situation in remote North Kimberley of Western Australia improved after the reintroduction of large-scale customary burning.
Like the last 10 years, we've been monitoring it to stop the wildfires going through. Through the years, there have been ups and downs on our fire. Some very hard wildfires went through, so we're now back on track.
The study found that four traditional owner groups successfully managed the mitigation of severe wildfires, which had previously dominated the tropical savanna of the North Kimberley. Prescribed burning, also known as back burning, controlled burning, or hazard reduction burning, is a fire management method where fire is intentionally applied under specific conditions to achieve safety and environmental benefits. Trevor Howard is the National Manager for Prescribed Burning at the Australasian Fire and Emergency Service Authorities Council. He comments on this positive change in the broader Northern Savannah region.
That landscape up there has been absolutely transformed over the last 20 years from a landscape that had a lot of very intense, very extensive bushfires to one now that is much more managed and under control in terms of low-intensity patchy fires at the right time of the year, being led by Indigenous people and running those programs, supported by science.
Ms. Ganack's colleague, Tom Vigilante, is the lead author of the study on improved fire management outcomes for North Kimberley. He says that cultural burning practices vary across the country.
Yeah, because Australia is a very big continent, so we have lots of different climatic regions and vegetation types. So you really need to have
local solutions.
The Kimberley region is one of the few places in Australia where cultural burning programs have been able to operate alongside prescribed burning. This has been made possible following the return of land titles to traditional owners. Mr. Vigilante explains why.
Getting that native title was a big turning point because it then meant that people had those rights to manage the land the way they want to do it. Because the alternative is to have maybe national parks or other types of land where government agencies are responsible for burning. And then in those situations, Aboriginal people have to try and influence the way burning happens in those areas, but they don't have the right to do it themselves.
Gareth Catt, a desert partnership manager at the Indigenous Desert Alliance, has been working with First Nations rangers across the Northern Territory, Western Australia and South Australia since 2012. Much of his work has focused on integrating traditional cultural fire practices into the modern context at scale. Mr. Catt believes the success of cultural burning as a proactive approach to wildfires lies in the way it is conducted, with a focus on prioritising the needs of the landscape.
If we look at prescribed burning, how it's done through agencies, the way that, you know, the people that I've worked with interact with fire is much more opportunistic. It's looking at the weather conditions, understanding where the fire's going to go and, you know, how that country's going to respond.
He says there is a renewed interest in traditional knowledge about wildfire mitigation.
What we have seen in Australia, particularly since those big summer fires in 2019, 2020, there was a real increased interest in cultural fire and cultural fire management. When people think about fire, they think about the blackness that is left behind, the danger that's associated with it. But when fire is carefully applied to the landscape, it's not a destructive force, it's a renewing force. If you time that fire correctly and get in front of those big fire events and interact with the landscape consistently, fire is much more a tool for promoting vegetation diversity and promoting new growth.
Professor Anthony DeSeto shares some of the latest evidence on this. He is one of the researchers behind the 2024 investigation comparing the effects on soil health when burns are carried out by government agencies versus cultural burning practices. The study was jointly conducted by University of Wollongong academics and members of the Ulladulla Local Aboriginal Land Council. It found both ways had positive effects on soil by increasing moisture and decreasing density, but cultural burning showed added benefits, as he explains.
For instance, that reduction of the soil density, we found that was greater when we look at soils where there has been cultural burning. In those same soils, we found there was more carbon and nitrogen compared to those where there was that government agency prescribed burning. And of course, carbon and nitrogen are super important because they are the main nutrient for this ecosystem.
Professor DeSeto says it's not about pitting prescribed burning against cultural burning. Rather, the focus is on sharing evidence and insights into the role cultural burning plays in bushfire mitigation and ecosystem health, a role that First Nations communities have understood for millennia.
So we have this toolbox, if you like, a fire management technique. And for a long, long time, we've been ignoring tools from First Nation community who have been looking after this country for tens of thousands of years. And also, there's been a lot of interest in various government agencies to apply the sort of study that we did to other parts of Australia.
In his role as National Manager for Prescribed Burning, AFAC's Trevor Howard liaises with fire emergency and land services across Australia on best practice and continuous improvement in fire management. He says that cultural burning revival is still at an evolving stage, and how much each state and territory will benefit from it will depend on their engagement with traditional custodians.
Across Australia, we have lots of Indigenous groups, and each one of those groups has its own attachment to their local country. So it really requires each state and territory agency to work with those groups to understand their aspirations and their needs and to support them in developing their cultural burning practices in their own way, in their own country.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Zoe Famaidu. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian, and I'm Luana Grant. Until next time.
Subscribe or follow the Australia Explained podcast for more valuable information and tips about settling into your new life in Australia. Do you have any questions or topic ideas? Send us an email to australiaexplained@sbs.com.au.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.